blocks it.
Yes. Okay, I'm going to call our meeting to order at 7 o'clock. And note that with delight that we're all present. And in particular, Larry is here. And we're happy to see him doing so well. Yippee. So, despite paragraph 3 of our agenda, Larry is here in person, and he, in fact, has a notice on his door that he's here in person and not attending at distance.
Are you good?
And we're delighted to have you back and see you doing so well.
Glad to be here.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is the consent calendar. And much as Lance, I think, would like to say nothing tonight, item 7, Lance's fire chief's report shouldn't be there. So our consent calendar is items 3, 4, 5, and 6. The minutes, our accounts payable voucher, the monthly financial report, and the monthly incident activity report. Are there any comments on those? And hearing none, I'd be happy to entertain a motion to adopt our consent calendar.
I move we adopt the consent calendar.
Second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion made and seconded to adopt our consent calendar consisting of items 3 through 6. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. And abstaining? None. Okay, we're on to item 2 on our agenda then, which is oral communications. And I would remind you this is the place on our agenda reserved for comments and inquiries from members of the public and members of the board concerning matters that do not otherwise appear on the agenda. Board members, do you have any comments? And members of the public? Yeah, go ahead, Anthony.
Okay. No, I got their first card.
They like you better than they like me.
No, we'd like you, Carl.
Let's see. At the police board meeting, the KPPCSD meeting, not the last one, but the prior one, there was a gentleman who came from a company called Nixley.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's on the...
Nixle?
Yeah, he does the Berkeley police.
Yeah.
He does
notices.
He moves around.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah, but I see that name on the Berkeley police reports. Yeah.
A lot of communities. Mm-hmm. And the service that he was talking about is emergency notification.
Mm-hmm.
The KPPCSD signed a contract with him, I think with his company, as a result, largely as a result of his contact, which enables, in times of emergency, private citizens on their cell phones to get emergency notifications.
Mm-hmm. Have you read your fire plug this month?
Yes. I didn't see anything about Nixle in there.
But you probably read a lot about how to get emergency notifications on your cell phone.
Now, the point, though, that I'm trying to make is that after the board voted to sign a contract with him, there was several people in the audience who said, but what about the fire district?
Pulse point.
Hmm?
Pulse point.
Pulse point.
Yes.
Means?
The app on your phone that will notify you of fire calls in your neighborhood.
We still haven't quite got to my point. Okay. My point is they have a contract with Nixley for emergencies. People sign up for it on their cell phones. And to me, this is a problem of garbage in, garbage out. We have the police department then charged with putting in the messages that are received on the cell phones. And my point is that in terms of emergencies here in Kensington, the two biggest ones that loom in my mind are fire and earthquake, and the police ones being secondary. So several people said, well, has the fire district bought in on this Nixley too? And where is the cooperation?
Never heard a word about it.
Well, and that's more my point.
Well, there is an alternative called, not in Alameda County, which is why Berkeley is on Nixle, but in Contra Costa County, there's the COCO CWS, or Contra Costa Community Warning System. And that's the system that I believe the entire Contra Costa County Fire and Emergency use. And it's the same thing, your cell phone will go off and it will tell you shelter in place or evacuate, or this is for your information only, or there's a police activity here, avoid the area, or several of them. So we're already on one of these services.
Yeah, and that's what was in the fire.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Anthony, I'll be happy to ask Lance and his staff if they would contact the chief of police and find out what they're doing with Nixle and whether Lance has any recommendation for us on that. We're not expert in that, and I'm surprised we were never brought into the discussion.
Well, I've heard nothing about it. That's my point. Since this guy came and made his presentation there, to me, this is just like the yin and the yang, these two departments, and was not invited here, or doesn't think to come here. The coordination aspect of this worries me. So, by the way, here, I just pulled off of the web.
Is this an Alameda County program?
No, it's a private program. It's a private company. So, and
it's done by Zipcode. It's in my article in the outlook. It's done by zip code, and
which I obviously read
several people have signed up for it that I know of, and they say that one of the problems with it is because we have Berkeley zip codes, you get a ton of Berkeley.
Yeah, I get it all on my emails. Yeah,
exactly. So that's kind of a drag with it, but other than that, I mean, it does seem to work. So.
But it's private as opposed, well, we'll get information on that, but it's private as opposed
I can speak to it limitedly tonight. So the situation is, Nixle is something that started, I want to say, 5 to 6 years ago. Many of the law enforcement agencies subscribe to it. El Cerrito Police Department subscribes to it. They have for, I think, 5 years. And they use it for all types of notifications and also emergency notifications. And it is a fee-based program that the city pays for that. My goal has always been to stay as centrally located as possible for our emergency communication stuff. So that's why I've always had the goal to stay with the county system that's provided by this county and funded by the county.
So we
don't pay a fee to be involved with that. It's reverse 911. It hits every landline and every cell phone that has been opted in. Mm-hmm. It also can tie into television and those type of things. I think Mr. Knight makes a valid point, and I'll gladly reach out to the PD and talk about collaboration and coordination on this topic.
So El Cerrito does not have a contract with Nixle.
The police department does. El Cerrito Police Department uses Nixle. Yes. Yeah. It's really a law enforcement driven app.
Yeah,
the majority of the agencies that use it are using it. It's started with law enforcement. There is some creep now where we're seeing other agencies, general governments, some things like that start to use it. But initially, it started out as law enforcement.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's cool. I have one more point that's free.
Could I ask a question while you show up? Joe, you mentioned something about an app called HousePoint.
Yes.
And what might that be?
So it's a free app that you download. It's called PulsePoint. You go in there and you go in the settings and selections. You click El Cerrito Kensington. And every time an engine company gets dispatched, you'll get a notice that the engine company is getting dispatched. It's a very intuitive software. It's easy to use. It will also tell you if there's a cardiac event anywhere in your neighborhood, and if you're trained in CPR, you could respond, locate the public access defibrillator, bring it to the scene, those type of things.
So it tells you what the event is, that is, say, fire versus a medical emergency.
Rescue tells you every kind, yeah.
And then it also tells you where?
It'll tell you the
location.
Does it give you the exact?
Usually it tells you the street,
but
it'll show you a little map with a dot, roughly where you're at. And it also shows where your AEDs are.
The defibrillators,
yeah.
But you have the option of selecting which districts you want to you want to monitor and what kind of emergencies you want to monitor in each district.
Nixle is the same way. You can choose wherever you want it, what police department you want to take it from, and what type of information you want. If it's just police information, or if it's a broader set of pieces of information. Maybe Lance can answer this. Is there any effort at the county level to use the Amber Alert approach towards giving out information? That is to say that they send it out, essentially takes control of your phone and just buzzes it and so forth. And that, from what I recall of the discussion in Santa Rosa Plan, was one of the things that was recommended. Maybe it was state OES, I'm not sure. But certainly that seemed to come out one of the recommendations for notifying people. Because if you don't have your phone, maybe you have an alert under the community warning system.
So there's all the different levels of community warning where it hits television, cell phone, landline, radio, those type of things. I have heard some discussion globally, not at the county level, but globally about going to maybe more of an Amber Alert style system. But at this point, I don't know that the county's moving on that.
That's my impression. I was just thank you.
Okay, so just another brief point. I'm very pleased to see Larry back.
Thank you.
Temporarily.
just temporarily?
Well, I have another surgery in the queue.
Huge surgery.
Well, the reason I'm particularly pleased is because Larry shows up at the KPPCSD meetings.
Yes,
I don't know if he's officially designated as your outreach person, but while he was ill, there was no outreach person. And so I'd like to propose that when Larry is not there, there should be an alternate.
She's the alternate.
Well, I will see.
I wasn't attempting to put you on the spot. I didn't know that.
I like to go. Not when it's cold and rainy.
The issues at the KPPCSD are heating up. You all know that on Saturday morning, there's a special meeting here. I hope you can attend. And as Kensington citizens, not just as members of the fire board, there are some pretty key things that are now in the mix. And I'm sure you all have excellent information channels for this. You can sit and watch the board meetings at home on your television or whatever. But it's not quite like going and sitting on the event. There you go.
We don't have a formal arrangement. Lots of times they come. Nobody tonight.
Nobody tonight.
I think
I'm getting down some a bad time are on the other end of the line too for not being here.
Yeah.
Okay, Carl, you had a comment.
Okay. Yes. I would like to read something into the minutes. And whether you don't have to record us, I'm talking, I'm going to give you the sheet.
Okay, thank you.
You will remember I asked you last month about the $227,400, which is the second largest line item in the annual statement, and you didn't have the information. Brenda was nice enough to get me the information. So I want to be sure that this is part of the minutes. Okay, janitorial is $1,200, medical waste $3,678. Billing alarm is $1,379, gardening is $1,460, miscellaneous maintenance is $87.78, gas and electric is $67.75, water and sewer is $1,808, and telephone and internet is $67.87. The big item of $195,472 is the consultant on the building. And I think that ought not to be in maintenance and building maintenance. You will remember that last year in June, you said we need to increase the rent for the police department because we spent $100,000 on the maintenance of the building. Now, I can't find half of that. If I'm very generous and look at all the line items, I cannot find half of that. So I don't think those two items, that $195,000, should have been on that line item. It should have been identified as what it was, which was consultant on the seismic.
Carl, what point of information? This is year-to-date figures, or?
It's in the audit.
That's the statement ending June of 2017. It's a
year.
It's a full year. It's a full year. And again, if you look and you look hard, you can't find $50,000 in building maintenance and upkeep.
It wasn't consultant on the seismic.
It was on the pre-planning.
Right.
On the three options.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, we're on now to item 7, and that means you're up, Chief.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to slip on the consent there, so I apologize about that. But I will say I do have a really short report tonight. In the fire chief section, you'll see every year I like to try to give you the total statistics at the end of the year. You'll see in 2017 we ended the year very close to where we've been the last few years, and the percentages look really normal. If you notice, the majority of our calls that we run in the community are medicals. That's 52% of the calls. And that's for total calls in 2017 of 379. In 16, we had 361 calls.
It's so, about one a day. Yeah.
Things seem pretty consistent. We still have the service calls that are 13% of our calls, and those are the calls that go out for, you know, kind of the non-emergency stuff, but the stuff that people really want us out for, the public assist, the smoke investigation, mm-hmm. the steam coming out of the dryer vent, those type of things. And that's one of the areas where we've really always talked about in the fire department. When there's an issue, you call us out for anything and we'll take a look. And so that number seems consistent also, and that means that people are comfortable calling. And that has always made me a very satisfied as your chief. So that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Questions for the chief?
Would malfunctioning carbon monoxide detector be considered a service call, or would that be considered a...
That's a good intent call.
That's a good intent call. Okay,
yep.
So if somebody's fire alarm system goes off, that's a good intent.
Yes, it is. If it's a malfunction or unintentional, shower steam, those type of things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, any more questions from board members? And members of the public?
Yeah, a couple questions for the chief. Is this number that the Kensington station respond to exclusively, or is it a combination of all three stations?
The number of 379 is every call in Kensington.
Regardless of whether it was station 65 or...
Regardless of what engine ran to it, correct.
I think what also might be useful is providing information on the total calls that the 65 station made, because you show that on a monthly basis, for example, in today's.
Yeah.
So I think for the reader and for the community, it truly would demonstrate the amount of activity that this station does, because it's not just in Kensington, but you know they have a lot of work that they do.
Correct.
And I think
that is the reason why we report the total engine 65 calls and then the Kensington calls on a monthly basis.
Right. So I think on an annual basis it would be useful to do an analysis as well. I think that would be useful information for the public to see how much activity this station really undertakes. Because otherwise you get the misimpression that this number, like in fact they're doing a lot more.
Okay, any further comments? Hearing none, I'm moving on to item 8, which is the President's Report. And I just have one item to note on the President's Report. And all but one of us has now completed our Form 700, so yippee-skippy. And they promised me that it will be completed soon in a timely manner. So I thank you all for your cooperation. Let's see, I'm on now to item 9 of our new business, and that's the actuarial valuation. And the actuarial valuation is under your new business tab. And we're using Nicolet Consulting. And what I'd like to do is highlight a couple things for you. What this actuarial study is a determination of the present value of our obligation to our former employees. The health and medical and dental benefits to our employees. And if you look, I'm on page 1. It indicates that our obligation is about $174,000 a year. Let me do the overall picture first, and it's much easier. What we have are 10 remaining members and beneficiaries. So the number is dropping.
It will drop.
Yeah, it will continue to drop. Because you can take a look at the age of our people, our remaining 10. Their ages are over here. Hang on one sec. I forgot to tab it. I'm sorry. So it'll take me a minute to get there. I think all but one is 75 or over. Hang on one sec.
Seven of them are 70 or older.
Yes.
One is 65 to 69, and two are 60 to 65.
Yeah. On page 16, it gives you an idea of what our participants are like. And so 100% of them are age 60 and over. 70% of them are age 70 or over. The meat of the report is here on page 20. And if you turn to page 20 of the report, you will see that under funding policy, you'll see that no annual contributions are required because the plan is fully funded and benefit payments made for those 10 benefited individuals are paid from the trust and therefore don't have to be paid by us. If you turn to page 5 of the report, you'll see that we are, in fact, overfunded. And I'm now 3 or 4 lines from the bottom. Plan fiduciary net position as a percentage of the total. And it shows that we are 113% funded. And if you just go up one line above that, we have an excess of almost $175,000. In the funding. So we're not going to be making any contributions this year to OPEB, and we will not be making any contributions. We'll be paying all premiums from OPEB. They're making relatively conservative assumptions here. They're assuming a discount rate of 6.73%, which is the amount that they assume our money will earn in the trust. And I believe they're assuming 2.25 as the cost of living assumption. At any rate, they're very realistic assumptions. And that's always what you have to look at in an actuarial study. There are actuarial studies, and some of them are not very accurate because they so overestimate the discount rate. And this is a very realistic one. So that's all I have to say about the actuarial study. I thought it was well done. I don't remember that this is the actuary we used last time, is it?
It is the same.
It is the same one?
Totally different format.
Yeah, it is a different format, and maybe that's why I thought it was different. Yeah. But anyway, we're required under state law to do this every 2 years. And so we will not be seeing an actuarial study again for another 2 years. But this is a good, healthy one. So I was well pleased with the results here. And I'm happy to take any questions you guys have on it. And if not,
I assume this actuarial study has nothing to do with PERS, right?
It kind of assumes, since our money is invested with PERS, PERS historical returns are the premise of the 6.73% discount rate.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, that's the only connection with PERS, is how they come up with the 6.73.
So that means that the reason that this looks so rosy, I'm guessing, is because the stock market's been doing so well lately. Is that fair?
We've been overfunded for the last couple of times. We've been overfunded by a few years, and that's because we made our contributions at the bottom of the stock market, you know, starting in 2008.
Right.
So we put the money in at kind of just the right time.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's premised on, I mean, our investment in PERS is composed of stocks and bonds.
So at
you can see what the what our investments are on page 6. Yeah.
So as the we aren't adding any people to this fund, right?
No.
So
it's a closed set.
So
yeah.
Eventually there'll be nobody in the fund, and I assume.
And then the trust money reverts to the district.
Just reverts to general funds.
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
Larry, a point that maybe will help clarify it. When Kensington Fire Protection District went into contract with the city of El Cerrito, all of those employees chose to go to Contra Costa County.
Uh-huh.
So when they left, the liability for the retiree medical was only the folks that were already retired, that were out of the system and in retirement mode.
That had retired from the Kensington Fire Department.
Correct.
Correct.
City of El Cerrito does not pay retiree health care, so that there's not that unfunded liability.
Okay.
That's why it's that small little pool. We're not accruing any more.
So in some sense this is like another sort of savings account, because eventually it's gonna that money will come back to the
assuming that the actuarial assumptions are all correct.
Yes, of course.
Yes. And that everybody dies at the right time, and the stock market and the bond market together yield 6.73%.
And inflation is 2.25.
Yeah.
Correct.
2.25.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. And good questions. Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
I'm just curious. The premium that you pay, I guess under the contract that you had with them, that seems to not be based on any specific insurance company premium. Like the police district does not pay any more than what the Kaiser rate is.
Our people get a choice, and they've made three different choices.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I seem to say. So if the Blue Shield access rate is, as it shows here, over 1,000, you pay that.
Mm-hmm.
So that contract is different than the one the Kaiser. Just out of curiosity, are they all retirees, or are there a combination of retirees and independents?
Combination.
It's a combination.
Combination, yeah.
I think it's like 7 and 3, maybe, or 6 and 4.
Six retirees and 4.
Yeah, it's 7 and 3, 6 and 4. There, it's in here, and I just didn't highlight that.
No, I was just
but it's in the report, yeah.
So I guess you would expect the spouses to last the longest.
Huh?
Women tend to live longer than men, correct?
Try to be a joke to do that.
Yeah, because spouses could be men.
Yeah, the ones you have to explain never work. Yeah.
And you could probably do that as a sexist remark, because I then assumed all the firefighters were male.
Right.
In fact, one of them is female. Yeah.
Then I apologize for that.
Yeah. On behalf of all women, we accept you.
Yeah.
So just so you know, on page 17, where it lists the plans that are available and that will be available as you move forward, these are based on the agreements that were in place with the firefighters at that time.
At the time.
So that's why the cafeteria plan is larger.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. I would be happy to entertain a motion then to adopt the actuarial valuation as of June 30th, 2017, as provided in your packet.
I so move.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we adopt the OPEB plan actuarial valuation All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. And abstaining? None. Okay, you will not see that again for 2 years. Now I'm on
top. And then the stock market will have crashed, inflation will be
headed for that, yeah.
Don't, you know, knock on wood, Larry, you're not supposed to say things like that. You know, and you and I will be back from retirement, you know, if all of that happens, yeah. Okay, we're on to item 10 then. And as you'll recall, at the last meeting we had bad news where our landscape designer for the demonstration garden had withdrawn. And so Brenda worked very hard, and Brenda has got what I think is an outstanding proposal here from Panoramic Design Group. And it's a much more comprehensive proposal than the earlier one. And it's someone familiar with dealing with governmental bodies, which pose special problems. And as a result, it's a more expensive proposal. It's $7,800, but it's certainly a more comprehensive proposal, and it's somebody who can hit the ground running were we to engage their services after approving the proposal tonight. So I think the proposal pretty much speaks for itself. It's a 3-page proposal that's in your packet. And Brenda and I would be happy to... Oops, how did you get 8,100 and I added it up to 7,800? Because I can't add. It is 8,100.
2,700.
Yeah, it's 2,700 times 3. It's 8,100 and I can't add. I'm sorry, Brenda. I don't know how I got... I was adding 26, not 27. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, it's my math that's faulty. I'm sorry. Anyway...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, well, Brenda and I would be happy to take any questions on this you have, and our goal is to get the design in place so that we can do a planting soon.
You're aware that they're looking for a survey, and
yes.
There's a clean water program, you know, there's this stormwater sort of thing that's probably a C3 thing,
mm-hmm.
And I at Geotech, those are all yet to come, they're not provided.
That's correct. And the planting is not provided and the plants are not provided. We budgeted $30,000 for the total project.
Okay.
So this is the first $7,800 that we will have spent of the 30.
Yeah.
81.
Pardon me. Yeah, I can't get that number out of my head. I apologize. Okay, yeah, so, yeah, it is, and that's what I meant when I said it's a much more comprehensive and thorough proposal. And,
to do their work, so that seems fine.
Yeah, and they seem to be much more on top of what governmental entities have to do than the other landscape designer we were working with before.
Did they, I didn't read the proposal, but did they estimate how much the... costs.
The other work would be?
Yeah.
No, but they're going to design the irrigation system and everything. Oh, so they have called for a survey and there's a slope thing is what they're worried about. Is that what you're talking about, Don?
It's ADA, you know, all the paths have to be...
No, that's right.
It's not only the walking ahead, but it's the side
slope. It's the slope of the...
And those are sort of absolute. You have to just do it right.
I think that's right. Yeah.
It's not a very big site, right?
No, it's very small.
Yeah, okay.
So the planting itself and the irrigation itself are not going to be outrageously expensive. Yeah. I think it's the design and the prep. Yeah.
Remind me of where the site is.
It's right over there.
Right over there.
You can practically reach out and touch it.
Okay, so there'll be some ramps then, too. It's hilly, isn't it?
It's relatively level, where we're going.
So it's just above the driveway into the library, this section that goes up this way.
The former tot lot.
That's
work off the existing sidewalk inward to under the trees.
Yeah, so I think it's relatively level. Yeah. Okay, any more questions that you have for Brenda or for me?
I think we're off to a good start.
Yeah, I was very pleased that Brenda was able to get this proposal for us. I thought it was very comprehensive.
And a local person, too.
Yeah.
And they're local, yeah.
Yeah.
How'd you find them? Just put
Actually, through Diablo Fire Safe Council and Relandscape. Bay Area or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
That they're part of.
Oh, they're part of it. That's good to find somebody that.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, that's great. Okay, I would be happy then to entertain a proposal, a motion to accept the proposal of Panoramic Design Group in the amount of $8,100 for the demonstration garden.
I move so. So move.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. And abstaining? None. So we'll move ahead with the design of the demonstration garden. And I hope you'll let her know tomorrow so that we can get going on this.
Yeah.
I don't know what her time frame is, but if we could get this thing planted sometime this spring, I would be clicking my heels.
Maybe during the summer when the kids are out?
Yeah, or during the summer when the kids are out is a great time. Yeah, and then we'd have less interference. Yeah.
Is there a contract for the design?
Not yet.
Is there contract language?
I'll get it from Myers-Nobbing. They just have a standard professional design.
And insurance certificate.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, let's see, I'm on to board reports then. The Finance Committee, we really have nothing to report because we spent most of last meeting on Finance Committee matters, so we have nothing further tonight. On the public
safety. I have a question.
Yes.
When is the Finance Committee going to meet with El Cerrito on the new contract?
Probably in May.
Okay, so we're coming up on that question.
Yeah. Yeah, which we'll announce here what that date is. It's a matter of checking like five different calendars.
You'd likely going to have an announcement at the next meeting?
No, we will likely not have an announcement until the May meeting.
Okay.
Because we usually meet late May.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we talking about the annual adjustment, or are we talking about a contract renewal?
We're talking about the Finance Committee going over the budget.
Budget,
and reviewing El Cerrito's contract proposal.
Yeah.
And usually they don't have the contract proposal ready until early June.
Not the master agreement.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Okay.
On to education. There is in your
public safety.
Oh, I'm sorry. I asked and then I got interrupted. So that's why I forgot. Is there anything on the public safety building, Larry, Don?
No, I think we're just waiting for...
We're waiting for the legal opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, on to... Yes.
What is the legal opinion about?
The legal opinion is an opinion that the Community Services District is seeking from its lawyer as to whether or not it would be legal to construct a public safety building within Kensington Park, given the language of the bond proposal voted on by the people of Kensington. And we need to know yes or no so that we can either completely abandon that as an option or consider whether that's an option that we would like to continue. But there's kind of no reason to do anything until we know what options we have available to us. It doesn't mean that we really are going to go into the park and that that would be our choice. But if they tell us, no, you can't go in the park, then that limits our options.
Talk about right up here.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he all right?
She's coughing.
Oh, all right, okay.
So are there two issues? One being whether you can do it under the bond?
Yes.
And then the second one being the willingness of the bond district to allow you
to. The Community Services District to allow it, yeah. Yeah, but we don't even get to that second issue until we find out.
I'm just wondering.
I just looked down to see what was up.
Yeah. I'm assuming the police district is willing to entertain the idea of building in the park. Otherwise, if
they were not, it would be rather foolish to ask for the legal opinion. But they're at least willing to consider the idea. They have not confirmed to us that that's something they would be willing to do. And they just thought there's no point in them making that decision until they know they have a decision to make. So they're kind of exploring their options, and we're sitting back while they do that. Because there's not really much we can do in the meantime. Huh?
I would have thought that if they didn't want to do it, then they wouldn't even have to worry about going and get a legal opinion on it. But I guess they're going to be open-minded about it.
Well, they're part of the project, and I think they like the idea of having a combined facility like we have now. So, I mean, they have a little bit of interest in getting that solved for them. They have to go someplace, too.
Oh, I agree.
Yes.
I missed it quick here. They are getting the opinion, is that right?
Correct.
It's not our land.
It's not our land.
It's not our land.
Yeah, they're the stewards of that property.
Yeah. They own it.
I remember hearing about this in their meetings.
I'm sure they've talked about it. Well, I don't know. I would be surprised if they have not discussed it at their meeting.
Yeah, well, yeah. I would be surprised too. I don't go to all the meetings, but I go to most of them.
I don't think it's been on the agenda. We've had some small working, not even one or two or three working meetings, and it was there that discussion took place.
Oh.
So it's not something that we've never made a formal proposal, nor have they put anything on their agenda either.
It's been in the Outlook also.
And yeah, it's been announced.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a surprise or a secret. Okay, I'm on to item C, which is education. And wow, don't we have good news in this? Good for you two.
Yeah.
What a fabulous job you did on the fire plug. But you always do a wonderful job on the fire plug. So that was no surprise. And I was absolutely delighted to get this get ready, get set, go community evacuation plan, which is just spectacular. I assume we're distributing this to everybody in the community, or we're mailing this.
Yeah.
Have I gotten mine in the mail?
It came
a couple days ago.
Did you get your fire plug?
Mm-hmm. I got my fire
came
plug
the
in
the same day.
Oh, you know, I bet mine too.
It might have caught.
I think they might have come
that's
one
tacked
day
one. Yeah, yeah. No, they
or
were close. Yes.
Oh, you know what? I haven't read my mail for a couple of days because I've been down in Palo Alto again. So, so I bet I have this in the mail, and I have it in a stack that I didn't pull out yet.
Right.
But wow, this is spectacular. And one thing I was especially delighted to read in here, I mean, it's got wonderful information like your emergency supply kit here, which is great of, you know, everybody ought to have just sitting by the front door so that in the event you need to go in an emergency, here's how you do it. And then it's got a whole map of Kensington here. And one of the purposes of having this whole map of Kensington is right here in step 2. And I'm looking at the column on the far left, the second bullet point. Become familiar with your community's escape route options. Practice these often so everyone in your family is familiar in case of an emergency. And this is the advice that we've given over and over again when people say, what is our evacuation plan? And the chief always says, well, it all depends on what roads are open and where the emergency is. And this is the message that everybody needs to get. That, you know, like when I come out of Windsor, I'm either going to go up the hill or I'm going to go down the hill. And if I go up the hill, I'm probably aiming to get out of here by the reservoir. And if I go down the hill, I can either aim towards Berkeley or I can aim towards El Cerrito. And one of the beauties of the drone that the chief asked us to authorize last month is the drone is going to help advise him what roads are open and what the possibilities are. So anyway, I thought this was just tremendous, and that in particular, that step 2 really alerts people to the message we've been trying to get out for years that people just don't want to hear, that you have to take some responsibility for yourself and plan in advance for possible evacuation routes, and then when and if the day comes, you're ready to go. But anyway, I thought this was fabulous. So
yeah,
good
was,
for
yes.
you, Chief.
But
it was just a tremendous.
Second what you said, because I really like.
Yeah.
The fire plug is always good, and it's
mm-hmm.
like
yeah.
it's always.
Yeah, it's not a surprise. The fire plug was great, but this
yeah.
was just a really great surprise. So kudos to
you. Thank
you
for doing it, especially the Kensington.
So if I may, on specifically the evacuation
yeah.
brochure, I always probably. Brenda can validate this. For like the last three months,
yeah.
I was
at a point where I started to get a little frustrated with CAL FIRE and getting this done, because we tried to, I mean, we've been working on about 9 months.
It's been a long time.
Then we had the North Bay fires, then we had the fires down south, and we had the mudslides down the south. And what happens when you're working with CAL FIRE, which I think is a great partnership, and we will continue to do that with these Ready, Set, Go programs, they're the state, and they're really bound up on copyrights and who touches what. And when we put our insignia on, and when we change some of the verbiage in their specific, there's a review process that it needs to go through. But I will say, I'm not going to take credit for any of that. That would be 100% Brenda and newly promoted Battalion Chief James.
Yeah.
I bet no less than 100 emails went back and forth with the state, back and forth. We're trying to get it right. Then someone retired that had the master draft, and so there it was a lot of work. But I did see the Santa Clara unit, that's our area assistant chief, today at a chief's meeting, and when he walked in and I walked in, he eyeballed me, I eyeballed him. It's funny that two chief officers come up to each other and say, "It's been mailed, it's out." and so I will say this. This idea originally started with Diablo Fire Safe and a deputy fire chief at CAL FIRE 2 years ago when it started.
Over a year.
It seems like forever. And they put it out to all the agencies. We were the only agency that persevered and got it done. And so I know it's just a little brochure, but
the
state sometimes is hard to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
And it should be noted, we sent it out to all the houses in the community. We made extra copies for the open houses.
Good. Oh, wonderful.
For our meetings that we do with other community groups.
Good for you.
So we have this. We have we reprinted the original Ready, Set, Go brochure.
Great.
And so we're stocked up for fire season. And I appreciate your patience on this project.
Oh, well, it was worth waiting for. It's just a fabulous product. So good for you. Well done. Thank both of you, and thank Chief James also.
I'm assuming it'll be on the website at some point, at least in some form when we get going.
Yeah.
I was, and it's Kensington. I mean, it really tells us. There, he's actually reading it in depth. But isn't it nice? I'm just really pleased.
Yeah, it's very well done.
That means all of us. You too can answer questions when people say that. What do I do? What's the plan? Well,
here's the plan,
but it really does fall to the individual, and that's the hardest part of the message to get across.
You might send an email to Chuck Toombs to make sure he got his.
No, I know.
I don't mean that in a snide way. We send stuff out, and then people say they didn't get it. And Chuck was asking us for the emergency material, so let's make sure he got it.
No, you're right.
I did not mean that.
No,
because people always say, "Oh, I never got it." You know, I've never received the fire plug. They say. So let's just make sure he got it. Yeah. Because I know he's been waiting for this information, so I just wanted to make sure he had it. Okay.
A question.
Yes.
Just on evacuation. How will that process work when a notification comes out? Would there be recommendations as to what direction to go, what streets to go? Janice mentioned about having that drone up there, and I'm assuming that you will then have, or will be coordinating with Kensington Police?
All evacuations procedures would be done in a unified command fashion with Kensington PD. And the moment we knew routes that were available, that's what would come out on the community warning system. I'm sure that's what the PD would put out on their NICSL system, those type of things. So it would be a joint control and command of the incident, and we would have units evaluating what's the best route or what's accessible, or, you know, what's hampered due to the earthquake, or what path is the fire coming, so to route people other directions. But one of the things they learned in the North Bay fires is, for a lot of communities, sadly enough, it never even got to that. Everyone was sound asleep, they woke up, they smelled smoke, they walked outside, and everything was on fire.
Right.
So that's where it comes into, and we preach this again and again, it sounds like the most simplest things. You have to have a go bag. You have to have it by the door or in your car. And it's your spare glasses, your next week's worth of medicine, everything labeled up, ready to go. You got to know what you're going to do with your pet right now, right this moment. While we're sitting right here, what are you going to do with your pet? Where's it going to go? Because you're going to, if in worst case scenario, I mean, Captain Castrone, Jose Castrone, one of our captains, has been here since 97. His uncle lived in the Fountain Grove area. He woke up, said to his wife, man, something smoky outside. Let me go look. Push the drape back, and it was run for your life.
Wow. Oh, my word.
I mean, the fire was completely around the whole house, and houses were burning everywhere. There, I mean, it was the wind was moving it that fast.
Oh, wow.
So that's where the discussion starts of, you know, especially for the newer people in the community, every time you leave your house, leave a different way. Now, I say that to some people, and they say, well, I live on a dead-end street. Well, when you get to the intersection, one time go up, one time go down.
Yeah.
And when you get to a block that you never go down, drive down that block. And then when you get to that one, go up. I mean, this is a community where after you've lived here 10 to 15 years, you should know where the streets lead you to.
Yeah.
And so it's that constant thinking, planning. Our goal with something like this is that people take the map and they take a highlighter and they go, that's where my house is at. I could go this way. I could go that way. I could, and then as a family, they participate and they have their child in the back of the seat say, tell us which way you want to go today.
Yeah,
and they do things like that. CAL FIRE really stresses, yes, there will be a time when there is an organized evacuation if that's the incident we face.
Yeah,
you never know what incident you're going to face that day. And if you're ultimately prepared to evacuate when you make the decision and you know how to get out of your community, that's going to save your life.
Yeah.
Would it be worth a map like this to highlight the major routes out? Kensington. I live in Purdue, so my two options are going to either be Bullitt down the Arlington, but more likely could be to Spruce and down.
So I fall back on the same thing there. It may be a major route right now, but I don't know after the earthquake this evening. So that's where you have to know your major routes, and maybe you take a highlighter and do every known major route that you're comfortable with that's the widest with the least amount of parked cars. You do that in orange. And then you do the smaller arteries in a different color, and you know these, if I can go this way, this is going to be the quickest way.
Okay.
Actually, one more thing on public education. I just wanted to point out that the shredding event is March 24th.
Yes, and then we have the pharmaceutical drop-off on April 28th. So we have those two dates coming up. Please make sure you know that the shredding is right down here in the parking lot between 10 and 2 on March 24th for Kensington residents. And then the pharmaceutical drop-off is at the public safety building. And I think it's the same hours, 10 to 2, on April 28th. So mark your calendars for those two events. Okay. The Special Districts Association is meeting again on April 16th. Does that mean you're not going to be attending, Larry, I bet?
We don't know yet, but if I'm not, I think Nina is.
Or, I'd like to. Yeah. I like them.
Okay.
I'd like to go. Yeah.
Okay.
What's the date?
The only reason that
April
16th. Is if I'm in the hospital.
We'll work that out once you have a chance to meet with your docs then, Larry. Okay, the policy manual has been put on hold for a month because the CSDA is sponsoring a webinar on policy manual revisions on April 27th. So Joe and or Larry are going to attend that webinar and see if they get any input from the CSDA that would change their present draft. Otherwise, they're all ready to go on that. Let's see, on the website, have we formally engaged our website people?
We have not. No, we can do that now. We have a landscape designer on board. So, yes,
you don't have time for all of this, madam?
We can move on to that now.
Okay, then now that we've got the, maybe while the landscape designer is designing, you could engage the website designer and that get them moving on this thing, because I'll tell you what my fear is: everybody's going to wake up, in December and realize that their website is not in compliance as of January 1st. So the earlier we get in, the more likely it is we jump to the front of the line rather than the end of the line. Because I think people kind of know what's out there, but they're not doing anything about it yet. So if we can contact them and engage them, then we have every confidence that our new site is going to be up and operational by January 1st. Okay, anything on the Diablo Fire Safe Council links?
I had one thing on the website.
Oh, okay.
And that is we need a picture of the new Engine 65 on the home page of the website.
Okay. Oh.
The engine that's there, I think, is now belongs to a Native American tribe someplace.
Yeah. In it's long gone.
Oh, yeah. Who did it go to? Really?
Up in the foothills, the Miwok village, yeah. I think, yeah.
Oh, great.
Good.
That's a good use. Yeah. That's good. Okay, anything on the Diablo Fire Safe Council, Chief?
We have been working with Cheryl Miller, and she's going to put together a little report of the 2016 cost share program that we did in the list all the projects that we accomplished in Kensington, the match of the donations and what the fire.
2017,
excuse me.
That's
on a time
great.
Machine, yeah. So she was going to have it for this meeting, but she was wrapped up with some grant application process.
No, actually, 2016. Because we just contributed to 2017's fundraising.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Correct, yeah. Okay. So 16 projects were done during 17. We gathered funds in 17.
That's right, okay, yeah.
Thanks for keeping me honest, sir.
Yeah, okay. And then let's see, with our correspondence, I think there's just one item of correspondence from Senator Skinner congratulating us on receiving our transparency certificate from the California Special Districts Association. So that's all I have on my agenda. Anything more that you would like to raise this evening? Seeing nothing, we are adjourned at 7:55.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't mean to jump on that.